Oh, wow, there were late nights last night, weren't they? Ooh. So I get to be the first one to wake you up. How exciting. Isn't it wonderful to be here? What beautiful country. Our family is staying at home just a little ways from here, and a gang visited us this morning, a bunch of elk. There was a whole herd, and a couple of the guys got into a tussle. It was really interesting, really cool to see. God's creation at work, how beautiful that is. It's really exciting to be here, though, in the presence of God, isn't it? To have come from so many places and to come here to this beautiful place and to have all of this in front of us, and how exciting, how overjoying it is. Today I'd like to share a message to you that I titled A Safe Place. And I hope to inspire all of us to use this time wisely as soldiers of God. It's funny, it's interesting, to him said we won't learn war anymore, but the reality is that we are all facing battle, aren't we? In our real lives, and the challenges that we face outside of this area, we face many challenges. And we also face our own human nature, and unfortunately that always comes with us, doesn't it? But here we are. We have this opportunity. For our first point today, I'd like to point out what's already been pointed out, that we were called to the feast, and God gave us instructions about keeping a tithe so that we were able to do that. And isn't it great that we can spend 10% of our income here and rejoice with one another before God? How amazing that is. I'll refer you over to Leviticus 23, verses 34 and 36, where we find God's instructions about to his people about keeping the feast, or about the feast itself. And in Deuteronomy chapter 12, let's turn over there, Deuteronomy chapter 12, he tells us what we're supposed to do. He tells us where to come. Deuteronomy chapter 12. These little tabs are really handy sometimes if you can read them. Deuteronomy chapter 12, and we'll start with verse 11, where it says, then there will be a place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. And we heard this last night, didn't we? The same messages are coming from the same Creator. Where God chooses to make his name abide, there you shall bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, the heave offerings of your hand, and all your choice offerings which you vow to the Lord. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God, you and your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, and the Levite who is within your gates. God wants us to rejoice. He says, come here and have a good time. But he also, in other places we know, tells us to make sure others are having a good time too, to be with his people, to come together and enjoy one another's presence. God wants us to rejoice and have fun. My second point today is I'd like to point out the legacy of the church. And I stand before you as part of that legacy. My parents began studying the Word of God when I was 18. I thought they were crazy. Little did I know. A year later, they were baptized, allowed to go to church for the first time. They came home and said, we think you should go. And thus ensued about 6 months of Steve thinking he knew everything, but, you know, I knew I belonged there. But I thought I had to find my own path to God. I had to find my own way to serve. And so at the tender age of 19, in January of the next year, 1986, I enlisted in the United States Navy on a 6-month delayed entry program. This is something you could do at that time. Well, as often happens in the spring holidays came around, and a gentleman was visiting on the last great day in Solvang, California. And I was doodling in my notebook, not really paying much attention, but he said something that brought my head up. And just then, God touched my brain. And he let me understand everything for a split second. It already has taken longer to discuss this with you than it actually happened. What I was left with was, oops, I can't belong to the Navy when I belong to God. I was finally able, with God's help, to escape from that responsibility. And believe me, I hold nothing but the greatest respect for those who have served, who are serving, and who are on that path. It just wasn't meant to be my path. My path is here with all of you. My path was here in this body of believers. The day that gentleman who was speaking is in this room. He was speaking that day, and he was the one that my head came up to. He's really close by. I can actually see him. But I'm not going to tell you his name so he won't get swarmed. And, you know, it's just amazing that God used him. He used his legacy of belief that he'd had for years at that point. And he went out of his way to come and tell us something that we needed to hear, that I really needed to hear, so that God could open my brain to understanding. He's on the speaking schedule. For the first time ever, we're speaking together at this feast. And I thought that was kind of amazing, the legacy that he helped to create, that God used to create through him. And here we are. How amazing is that, huh? Well, that legacy has to continue. All of us here have a part to play in that legacy, in continuing that legacy of God that he has created in us and through us. And we all have the opportunity to serve. Now, how do we all serve? Well, we can't all speak. There's only a few slots. And we can't all necessarily be greeters. And maybe our health issues are keeping us from doing, you know, the lifting chairs or what have you. But there are ways to serve. You can pray. There's a wonderful lady in Tucson that sends my wife and I a card every 3 months or so. And it's just full of news and information. And we are terrible right back here. And she's never stopped. I just think how wonderful that is. It's a great service. It's encouraging to us when we receive those. And when we see her, of course, we can't help but give her love and thank her so much for her attention. It's just, there's so many opportunities. Find your path, but do it within this body. Find your path in this body. That's the legacy we all want to have. If you turn over to 1 Peter 5, we'll read there. 1 Peter 5, and we're going to turn to verse 5 also. It says, yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. You know, it's nothing unique that we deal with. It's nothing unique. The challenges that we face in this life as we age, as we face the various things we face. My third point, I'd like to bring up the armor of God. I mean, literally from underneath here. It's kind of small. Maybe not all of you can see it. This is a little statue my wife got me. And no, I'm not much of a Roman, but at the time that he was talking about the armor of God, this is what the soldiers in the area wore. So I found it kind of interesting that they've also put the verses on the back. And it helps me to remember throughout the day when I look at that, you know, I'm not just in this life normally. I have a path to follow and I need to stay strong. So that armor, we can read about that in Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, and we'll turn to verse 10. See, anybody can get tongue-tied. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Not Corinthians. There we go. Where it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of the wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. And you can read through that. It's a very interesting passage. And think about it, consider those, that these were analogies of spiritual realities. They're physical analogies of spiritual realities. We don't really carry a sword, a physical sword, do we? If we did, we'd probably be in jail. Those things are deadly and dangerous. But the Spirit of God, the sword of God, can help us change, can help us grow. It's not a sword we use against others, it's a sword we use on ourselves in the reality. But we also can defend ourselves from the evil one. You know, brethren, God issued us our armor when we were called. We need to take care of it. It gets beat up every once in a while. We take a hit, don't we? We need to repair it and clean it so it can provide what God intends for us, which is protection from the evil one. We've been in the front lines of battle, haven't we, all this year? We were at the feast last year, I hope. If you're here for the first time, welcome. We're glad to have you, and we're looking forward to getting to know you. But we've been in battle for a year, and we've probably taken a few hits. Our shield might have a few darts stuck in it still that we need to pull out. Perhaps we took a few blows to the chest or to the boots. And it's good to get them off once in a while and hammer out the dents and fill in the holes and polish them up and shine them up and be ready when we go leave this special place and go back into the world. You know, we have an opportunity to, while we're here in this safe place under the bubble of God's protection. And I really feel that's true. I've been around the feast a number of years. It's been 37 since that gentleman spoke. And it's amazing to me how you'll be in an area and you'll run into people outside the doors that are in the world. And yet God's Spirit is present here. And somehow their days are going a little bit better because maybe because we're around, maybe not, but they're going better and they react differently. The wife and I always stay over an extra day because we just don't like traveling on the last day. And it's amazing. You go out for breakfast the next morning, the same person is having a rough day and they let you know. It's just different. We're here in a safe place. Let's use the opportunity to repair our armor and to spend time with one another. God is protecting us. He's preparing us for our return, but we have to do our part. We have to help each other. So we must spend time with our commander. If you don't know who that is, well, you'll find out, but it's Jesus Christ. He's the commander. And we need to spend time with him and talk to him and hear his voice in his word. We also need to spend time with our brothers in arms who have learned a few things through the years and ask questions and have them help us. And when the young ones with all that zeal and all that energy come around, it's really inspiring to me as well. It helps to re-energize me for the battle as well, knowing that there's somebody behind me, a legacy is following. It's fantastic. You know, I'm kind of in the middle ground there, so I got a lot to learn, but I can also share a little bit once in a while. It's the older soldiers helping the younger with knowledge and the younger strengthening the older with zeal. And practicing with those of the world who are here, even if it is unwittingly, the fruit of God's way. Living that every day, all the time. Because that's what we do, isn't it? That's who we are. In conclusion, the feast is certainly a time to look forward to God's kingdom. Certainly a time to look forward to the roles that we'll fulfill as leaders in the future. It also can be a time to recognize that we have come away from the front lines. From the front lines of that spiritual battle that rages all the time. While we're here, let's take the opportunity to check our armor. Make repairs to it. To spend time with our brethren. To spend time with the commander. And to learn the ways that he wants us to walk in. And to help others to walk in this way as well. Carry on this legacy that was built by others. A legacy that has been passed down from the disciples, the apostles, and on to us. How amazing to think back on all of those years. And yet here we are, aren't we? How amazing. God has brought us forward. Take up the armor of God and, brethren, be prepared to move into position when the time comes. Happy feast to you all.